Well, today we have a special speaker. Lauren Mabe is a young college student in our church. 17 years ago, our church began with the goal and with the mission of taking the gospel of Jesus to Pinehurst. And God has blessed our church in amazing ways. Some of you have been a part of that for a long time, and you're the fruit of it. My prayer for our church has been that we would be a sending church, that perhaps there are some young folks and maybe some older folks who feel like God is calling them to leave the comforts of where you're at and perhaps go and tell someone who's never heard of Jesus the good news of what he's done for them. And I believe that we see that in Lauren Mabe. And I'll steal a little bit of your thunder. When I was talking to her about her trip a few weeks ago, I asked her how it was, and she said, "Pastor Chuck, God wrecked my life in the most beautiful way." And so in the 8:30 she shared, it was an amazing story that she shares, and we're looking forward to her sharing that with you. And as she is sharing, I would invite you to ask God from your own heart, "God, why not me?" All right, so Lauren, why don't you come and share?
Good morning. Okay, sorry. So to start off with, I'm going to teach you guys some Thai language, how to say hello. Men and women say hello in Thai differently. So to say hello, you say sawadee, and then ladies say sawadika, and then guys say sawadika, and then okay, so we're going to practice. I'll say it slow and then repeat after me, okay? So I would say, sawadika, like walking around the street or whatever. So ladies, sawadika.
Sawadika.
Yep, and then guys, sawadikrap. It's a little tougher for the guys. I kind of like how the ladies, you can go ka. I like that. So that's fun. But yeah, so I went to Thailand this summer, just so you know a little bit more about me. I'm born and raised in Pinehurst, lived here my whole life, been growing up in the church here my whole life. And I'm a rising senior at East Carolina University. I study art education. I love Jesus and I love to paint. And my freshman year, I actually went to Campbell University. And at Campbell University, I got involved with a college ministry called Campus Outreach. And through Campus Outreach, the past two summers, I've been to Orlando, Florida, doing evangelistic summer projects where I learned to study my Bible, read my Bible. And those summers left me thirsty for the Lord. I wanted to tell people about Jesus and what I was learning, and then the opportunity came that I could go to Thailand. And I was like, oh no, like I won't go to Thailand. I'll stay in the United States, you know, and I'll stay in North Carolina because that's where I live. And I'm going to walk through kind of the process of like what led me to go to Thailand and then what I did in Thailand. And So I went to Thailand for 6 weeks this past summer, and on the screen is where Thailand is, in case you didn't know, because I didn't know at first. But it's 24 hours of air travel away. So that was, it could be fun, but I didn't really like the flying. But I went to Thailand for 6 weeks with six other people. So there were a total of seven of us, two of them being on staff with Campus Outreach, two being my roommates who I room with at ECU. So that was really cool that I got to do. Three of us got to go to Thailand from my house that I live in. And one guy from NC State and another girl who went to Campbell. This was my little family from America that I had in Thailand. We went to serve alongside a long-term staff team in helping teach an English summer camp. We called our project the CCP, which stands for Cross-Cultural Project. Our cross-cultural project serves as a means to help students get connected to global missions, gain a heart for the world, and learn to serve within a different context. So I just want to read you guys our theme verse for the summer. Our theme passage of scripture was Philippians 2, but we wanted to focus on verses 9 through 11. And it says, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Like Pastor Chuck said, when someone would ask me when I got back, "Oh, how was your summer?" I was like, "Oh, like, how do I tell them, you know?" This summer was where God wrecked me. My inner being in the most beautiful and sanctifying ways. I wanted to die to myself and see and love people the way Jesus sees and loves people. Just some facts about Thailand. It's literally on the opposite side of the world. If you're looking at a globe, North Carolina's here, Thailand is here. The largest religion is Buddhism. It's like 99% Buddhist. There are 109 different people groups in Thailand with different dialects. About 70 million people live there, and 0.63% of people who live there are a part of the evangelical Christian population. Just to kind of have some numbers, but also these are just numbers, and we can look at lists and facts and statistics for days about different countries and our country and all kinds of stuff, but these aren't just numbers. These are real people. Their faces, and they're beautiful people with a beautiful language. Even if I didn't understand it, it was beautiful to hear. These people are created by God and in God's image all around the world. So when I was asked to go to Thailand, I didn't want to go at first. Like I said, all of my family lives in North Carolina, so why would I want to leave them? I had plans of my own for school. Feel like I've been going to school forever, and I was going to take summer classes, try to get ahead, you know, work, do my own little stuff. But that's not what the Lord wanted me to do. But I didn't want to listen to him just yet. I was afraid. I was afraid to go. I'd never been out of the country before. So I didn't know what any of that looked like. So I began to pray, and I was like, "Okay, Lord." And then I was talking to a woman who works on staff with Campus Outreach. And I was just telling her, you know, this is why I don't want to go, .. I'm afraid, and I'm scared, and I'm just really fearful. And she encouraged me to write down my fears, pray through them, and find scripture that you can, rebuke those fears and memorize those pieces of scripture, and also invite people in. Tell my roommates who I was going to be going to Thailand with what I was afraid of and pray through those fears with them. And I don't know if I've said this, but I was mostly afraid of the flight. I've flown before. I like to fly. I like to go places. But thinking about flying for 24 hours, I was like, "Oh, no, I can't do that." And then hearing stories of people's feet swelling, I was like, "Oh, no, like, I definitely can't go." But So I began to pray through those fears, and one of the pieces of scripture, I'd like to read just a couple verses and then skip down to the other verses, is through Psalm 91. And it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Skip down to verse 11. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And like I said, I'm a visual person. I love art. And when I was praying through this, through Psalm 91, and I read verse 11 where it says, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." I just saw this picture in my head so clearly. It was like it was nighttime, and I was looking out of a plane window right here, and the plane wing was stretched out, and there were golden angels holding the plane up like this with their wings. And I was like, "Oh, okay, Lord, I'm gonna be okay, you know?" I was like, "He will command his angels concerning me to guard me." So I prayed that if this was really what the Lord wanted me to do, that he would make it clear that this is what he wanted me to do and where he wanted me to go. And through a lot of praying and a lot of crying, I decided to go. Everything seemed to be telling me to go. Go, go, go. Go, Lauren, just go. You know, you need to go. And I was like, no, no. Like, I have my plans, you know. I think I'm just going to stay at ECU, you know. But it was, nope. It was like, go. And I was like, no. And it was like God asking me, "Hey, Lauren, are you listening to me? People all over this earth want to know me. They want to," and I was like, "Okay, God, okay, I'll go." So I went, and I had every reason not to be okay. There's a lot of cultural differences that could make it really hard, and it's super hot in Thailand. But I was more than fine. I was perfectly okay. I felt like I was created to be there. And I love the picture of us being Jesus's sheep and Jesus being our shepherd. What comes to mind when you hear the word shepherd? So it's easy to picture a beautiful green meadow with some sheep on a hill eating some really good grass. But in reality, in the Bible, shepherd's reality consisted of long hot days, cold nights, and a constant threat of predators. In John 10, Jesus compares his followers to sheep. And when we examine the role of Jesus as the shepherd and the ultimate shepherd of our lives, we see ourselves as his sheep. We begin to see him as the leader, the defender, and the caretaker of us, just like in Psalm 23. So I was like, "Okay, Lord, like, here again, like, I'm going to be safe. You're my shepherd, you know, so why am I so afraid?" So I knew I was going to be in good hands. What better hands, to be in, right? Because he is the good shepherd, I'm safe. What better protection to have? I'm at the perfect age. I don't have anything holding me back. I'm able to go. I don't have an internship, full-time job, husband, or children. I'm a child of God, fully able to die to my selfish desires and my own little plan to stop and go, to leave everything for Jesus. I want to do that. So here I am, Lord. Use me, I'll go. And when I was praying and processing of going to Thailand, these verses just like kept coming in my head. Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went throughout all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So I began to pray earnestly to the Lord that if he wanted me to send me, that I would go. And then just like another verse, Matthew 28:16-20, which Pastor Stephen read in the Message in a Bottle. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." So we're called to go, and it was clear to me. But what I really clung to is the last verse where it says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's a lot of things to be afraid of, but if you have God on your side, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. But I was still afraid, okay? But I worked through it. So 24 hours later, arrival in Thailand is what I wrote. So I went to Thailand, a beautiful country with beautiful people, beautifully designed by God. This summer, I'm sure if lots of you kept up with me on Facebook, I put lots of fun pictures. It was amazing, so much fun. New places and people to see. I had no idea what people were saying around me. I didn't speak Thai, so I couldn't read anything. I couldn't read menus where I ate. Like, I just would point to pictures and hope it wasn't spicy. And the only thing I could read was Coca-Cola and 7-Eleven, and I was so happy. I was always sweaty and always sweating and always reminded that my face was red. Most days were 90 to 110 degrees with 80 to 90% humidity. We take our shoes off when entering a home or building. The food was so spicy, but I love trying new things. The students would like me to try their dishes, and I would, but I was always scared it would be so spicy and hurt my stomach. But I learned how to say "my pet," which means don't cook with spice. So my order would be "Gapal Gai, my pet." And that was basil chicken, my pet. So please don't cook with spice or make it spicy. And usually when they see a little white girl, they're like, "Oh, like she can't handle that anyway." But anyway, so I would say "my pet," and they wouldn't use what they normally use, but it was still so spicy to where it's like an immediate cough in the back of your throat. But it was still so sweet and so good. I loved all the food, and I love sticky rice. My favorite thing about and in Thailand were the people. Sorry. That is what I miss the most. These people, sorry, I can't see my paper. These people were the sweetest, most kind people I've ever met. I loved learning the language and seeing their faces when I said "sawadee ka" correctly. It always made them so happy. The people were such a gift from God to me this summer. They loved me so well, and they loved me so much that they felt like my family. I didn't want to come back to America because I felt so at home. There were 5 Thai Christians involved with campus outreach in Thailand, and about 25 students from the university that came to our English camp for the summer. And we had so much fun together. Nothing I did felt like work or hard labor, but I got to share my new and different American-styled life with these people. And I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 2:8. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext of greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others. Though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So, it was a super fun summer, but it was also a summer of dying to myself every day and being in complete desperation for Jesus. I was just a girl with a suitcase and a Bible. I was an able body, but I'm nothing without Jesus. I'm not the one who saves. Jesus is the one who saves. If you are an able body, how can you die to yourself and serve and be in complete desperation for Jesus? I prayed that I would see the country and the people the way Jesus sees them. That came true for me this summer. I saw the people the way Jesus sees them. I want people to know the love of Jesus. I want to see children running into the arms of Jesus and see all the nations on this earth praise the name of Jesus. If I could put 6 weeks of what I did this summer into a couple sentences, I would say I was able to see in color for the first time in 21 years, or like a flower in full bloom, like I was created for this. It didn't make sense that everything was making sense. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew it was the Lord. It was so beautiful and life-changing. And I want to go back as soon as I can. In Philippians 4, Paul talks about finding the secret. I was like Paul this summer, whether in plenty or with nothing. I found the secret, salvation and dependence on our Heavenly Father. Our life is a gift. Everything is a gift. Our bodies, our movement of our bodies, the air we're breathing, the transportation we have to get to church this morning, the things we're good at, our brains, and that we're able to comprehend and learn different languages, your football skills, your art or music skills, your cooking skills, your serving and secret skills. Your jobs are a gift. Your money is a gift. Your clothes, your shoes, all these things and more are gifts to us from God. They are not ours. They are the Lord's. So how can we use our gifts and the things given to us, our jobs, our skills, to serve others who may not know Jesus? It may not be going overseas or across the world or to a different state. It could just mean that you need to get a little uncomfortable. Step out of your normal bubble you've created and ask your neighbor you see sometimes out in the yard over for dinner. It might be starting a conversation while walking your dogs. Invite people in, show them your lives, love them, and they will ask questions. And it can be so beautiful. But we've got to die to ourselves and our selfish wants to want to retreat back and stay comfortable. We've got to go and get uncomfortable for the sake of people coming to know Jesus. This summer was not about what Lauren did or where Lauren went. This summer was about what Jesus did and where Jesus was. I think every Christian should go. Stop saying no, 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 and go. We're not called to be comfortable, but we're called to drop everything for Jesus. Almost done. And after being in Thailand and seeing a different part of the world and a different country and a different people group and a different language all interact, to know that they don't know Jesus breaks my heart, but some of them do. Some of them are Christians. And one day, if we're a believer and a follower of Jesus, this is going to be true. In Revelation 7, 9 through 10, it says, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" So one day, every tribe, every nation, every language will worship our Lord. And I just want to go and see people come to know Jesus. So that's all. But I have two short videos to show you guys. One is a recap of my summer, just a couple short videos clipped together. There's no music attached to it because I want you guys to kind of hear the sounds of what it was like. They have cars, but most of them drive motorbikes around. It was really loud and kind of dangerous, like they just were going so fast. And they drive on the opposite side of the road. So every time I crossed the road, I was like, it was different. I was like, oh man, I'm going to get hit. But I never did. And then there's a Thai Christian girl who's one of my best friends that I made this summer, and she's going to share her testimony. So that was a small glimpse of my summer and some of my best friends that I made. But I just wanted to say thank you, church, for loving me, for building me up, encouraging me, supporting me, and praying for me. It was the best summer of my life, and I want to go back. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for sharing. And what you have just heard and seen is someone who has been in the process of discovering the missionary heart of God over the last several years. Aren't you glad we have a God who has a heart for missions? I think about where I used to be, and I'm so thankful that someone who had a heart for the Lord and a heart for the lost came to me. And I'm so thankful that Lauren's got that same heart as she looks forward to the future to see what God will do. And not certain exactly what he's going to do, but he's going to do something through her. Not necessarily because she's special, even though she is, but because she's willing and she's wanting to go. And she's sold out to the Lord. And so my question to you is, how about you? What excuses do you offer? The reasons that you can't go? You know, if you're saved, you have been the recipient of the amazing grace of Jesus. John 3:16, we heard it quoted by Stephen here just a few minutes ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that is a message that needs to get to the ends of the earth. The question, who's going to go? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know that I can get on a plane. Well, don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate the power of God to call you to something that's greater than yourself. Because where he calls you, he will equip you. Some of you may not be able to go, but you still have a job to do here. You have time, you have talent, you have treasure. I believe God calls us all to pray. I believe he calls us all to give, and I believe he calls us all to go. And our go may look different. Our go may not take us around the world. Our go may take us across the street. It may take us just across the property line to a neighbor who we've been talking to for a while. Maybe we need to strike up a gospel conversation to find out where they stand with Jesus. God loves this world so much. He loves you so much. And if you've never, ever received the gospel of Jesus, can I encourage you? Why not today? He loves you. Jesus died for you, and he rose for you. Why not receive him today? Would you pray with me? Father, it's been so good to see the story and hear the story that Lauren told us this morning. Father, we thank you for the report that she has given us. Lord, it's not a report about Lauren. It's a report about what Jesus has done in her and what he's doing in Thailand. Lord, we know that we may not all be called to go to Thailand, but Father, we are called to go somewhere. I pray that we'd be willing. I pray that we'd be open to seeing what you have to do through us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see that our resources are not ours to use for our own purposes and own ends, but our resources are blessings that you have given us so we can bless others and reach others. Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that today's the day where we can show them from Scripture what it looks like to know Jesus as Savior. Father, for those of us who are here that are saved, I pray, Lord, that you would shake us out of our comfort and shake us out of our complacency, that we would see a broken and dark and lost world. And Father, would you give us a heart that is willing to go and willing to say yes to whatever you ask us to do. Father, we rejoice in your love. And as we wait in this invitation time, we pray that your will would be done. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to invite you that if God has worked in your heart in any way, if he's moving you, perhaps it's for salvation. You've never received Jesus. You've got an emptiness inside of you that will not go away until you know him. And he will fill that far more than you could ever imagine. And maybe today's the day where you need to come forward and let us show you from Scripture what it means to know Jesus. Others of you, maybe God is calling you to do something, to go somewhere. Why not respond today? Perhaps it's about baptism, that first step of obedience after salvation. Maybe it's about church membership. But if God is moving in your heart in any way, would you be obedient and respond? Father, we pray that you would give us an obedient heart and willing feet this morning in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray.